You're listening to Forward Ever, Leading in Challenging Times, presented by Worth Wealth Management, a discussion with industry leaders about how they persevere in uncertain times. Now, here's your host, Gary Shorman.
Hi, and welcome to Forward Ever, Leading During Challenging Times, program presented by Worth Wealth Management, Tim and the team who are enhancing lives and strengthening families. Our guest today has a way of keeping our world running with electricity and power, and in some cases, gas in our homes. Pat Park is our guest here. He's CEO of Midwest Energy. And Pat, thanks for joining us today.
Gary, it's a pleasure to be here.
You know what? One of the things that you have, and you have one of those utilities that people just expect electricity to be there. You walk in the room, turn on the light. But during a pandemic, that's created a whole different challenge. Tell us about the challenges you faced at Midwest Energy when all of a sudden it was announced everybody had to work from home, everybody had to quarantine. What did you face?
Well, Gary, the message that we gave our employees from the very beginning was that other people, primarily medical professionals, first responders, were on the front line of this situation, but they couldn't do their jobs well unless we were well and we did our jobs well. So electricity had to keep flowing. The gas couldn't stop. We needed business continuity. So our business had to keep running just as normal. We just had to do it from a different location for our employees.
How did that work specifically when you take a look at that? You're scattered throughout Northwest and Western Kansas with your utilities. How did you manage to communicate that first, and then how did you make it happen?
Well, first, Gary, I would say it was much easier to go into this than to back out of it, because at the time we were operating on the knowledge, or at least the assumption, that this was a very bad thing and we had to move quickly. And each of our vice presidents was given latitude for their work groups to disperse them in the manner that best fit the operation. And let me give you a couple examples. Office employees, obviously, to create the most social distance, work from home if you can. Otherwise, within the building, create separation. But some employees cannot work from home. And an example of that is our 24-hour a day system operation center. That had to keep going. But what we did with that group, that's such a critical function that we have a backup control center. So we split that group into two, and one half would report only to one of those sites. We did not mix the two groups, so that in the event the COVID virus got into one group, why the other group would be separated from that. So we'd maintain continuity there. And clearly the outside workers, gas and electric both, their job is in the field, you know, restoring power, making repairs, installing new service. So they had to be in the field, but likewise, we created social distancing strategies for them. They reported to work, you know, if they had to go into the warehouse, they maintained separation. Sometimes they picked up materials that were left outside the building. Several of the servicemen type employees worked out of their trucks. They might go into the office or the warehouse service center to pick up a piece of paper, but generally they had the technology to get service orders electronically and could do almost everything without entering the building. For those who did have to report to the yards, we had them, you know, come into to different locations, gave everybody the PPE, the hygiene products and so on that were needed. We don't often think of PPE from a medical perspective and, you know, associated with utility workers, but we do have a lot of gas servicemen who have to go into a building, into a house to turn gas on, to relight pilots and so on. And so they had to have the protective gear that was needed to do those sorts of things.
Pat, I know you guys do, like a lot of companies, you probably go more so in this, but you plan for a lot of, I say, emergency things, whether it be tornadoes, ice storms, high winds, all those things that you plan a response and a response team. Did anything, any of that planning ever come close to dealing with a pandemic?
Actually, what, 9 years ago, we did some pandemic planning. I think the virus at the time was H1N1, nothing to the extent that we have today. I think just the fact that we have been through crises before, we know that everyone has a job to do, and they get that done. It helped out. But this was totally different. So I remember on March, mid-March, you know, sitting in the training room, because we were socially distanced, our executive staff, and just made a series of decisions then that the offices were closing the next day. Employees would be sent home as technology was available, and we'd begin implementing our distancing in the field. So it was a matter of taking the knowledge we had at the time and acting quickly.
From what I've seen, Pat, you guys have done a terrific job at Midwest Energy. How's that work with the customer side of things? I know you closed your office, but if a customer wants to sign up, is everything now online? If you need new service, if you want to disconnect, everything is set up for online?
Virtually everything that can be done in the office, we can do remotely, either online, by phone, and so on, with one exception, and that is accepting cash payments. But any other payment option is available online, checks, automatic bank draft, whatnot. And we are looking into, it'll take a little while to implement if we decide to go forward, but looking into terminals that would accept cash payment. So that would be a longer term solution, in the event that we have successive waves of the pandemic, that we might be able to provide that option as well.
I know you also, in a customer's case, gave some, I guess, special for needs for disconnections that you went through May 1. Was that a big issue for you guys of customers not being able to pay?
It's something we expect, and our accounts receivable has increased. Not quite as much as we expected. Typically, though, we know that accounts receivable coming out of the winter will be high. Utilities are subject to what are called cold weather disconnection rules. So normally we don't turn anyone off between November 1 and March 31st. We voluntarily extended that a couple months. In fact, just after we did that, the governor came out and ordered the same. And so also during a two-month period, we waived late payment fees. And we encourage customers, we know that they will have difficulty paying, especially if they have lost a job or reduced work hours, to just please call and we will work out payment arrangements up to 12 months in length if needed. We don't want anyone to go without.
You guys have done a great job. In fact, you've also, I think, recently talked to your board about not changing some gas prices that are out there, and to kind of help move that forward and help keep customers at least in a better place.
Yes, that was correct. We, about every 3 years on the natural gas side, we look at our rates and adjust them as needed to cover the costs at the time. We were looking at asking the board to approve an annual increase of $1.4 million sometime to go into effect mid this year. We have deferred that indefinitely. I think that means we might come back in a year and do that from now, but it was about a $1.4 million adjustment. And, that's part of our response. We know our revenue is down. It will be down. And so we take a look at our budget and have made a number of changes in operation and maintenance plans for this year, holding positions open, not doing some things that will eventually need to be done, but just to get us through this period. Quite a bit of new construction has been deferred. Again, it can't be put off forever, but to get us through at least the next year, we've cut back quite a bit on spending.
Pat, you mentioned earlier, and this has been a common theme from some of our other calls and interviews, but you mentioned, it seemed like it was easier to just stop than it has been to get started. And so now that we're kind of coming out the quarantine and the stay-at-home orders, and Kansas is opening back up, Western Kansas is opening back up, maybe more so than other parts of the state. How are you working into making that change happen?
Well, that's correct. It was so easy to go into this situation. Backing out, we've created about a four-phase plan, three phases going compared to our initial position. So next on June 15th, we plan to move into phase two of our plan, which would allow a little bit larger employee gatherings. We'll look at each office and open up the lobbies as the situation presents itself in our eight towns that we have customer offices. We're trying to look as much at data as we are government directives or the lack thereof, and to remain sensitive to our employee opinions, make sure that we continue social distancing, provide all the PPE that's needed, and so on.
Have power companies heard a lot from Topeka and DC? It sounds like no from your last comment, but do you get directives on the national level from your national association?
Well, both the state and national governments, whoever is in charge of utilities, have declared utilities and their employees to be essential service providers. So technically, we would not be subject to stay-at-home orders, although, again, for our employees' health, we did that. And in Topeka, you know, both the governor and the KCC are making some directives that do apply in terms of disconnection and late fees and so on.
One of the things you plan, and you have to plan so far ahead, getting through this type of year, it's probably a different type of electrical usage. And when people are at work, it still takes the whole system to work, the grid to work, as you speak. Where does that fit in? You mentioned some repairs that need to be made. How is our grid security? How are we doing with that end of things as we look forward to what may happen this fall and this winter?
Well, right now, in terms of power supply, we're in very good shape because load has dropped so much. We've lost a lot of oil field load with a little bit higher oil prices. Some of that is picking up. But also, we have a related industry, large pipelines that move crude oil, natural gas liquids, and even natural gas. Those operations have scaled back quite a bit. So in terms of power supply, we're in great shape. The type of storms that we have in spring and summer generally are more localized. So if we would have, say, damage here in Hayes, we can, large damage here, we can bring in employees from Great Bend or Colby to help out. And likewise, we can shuffle crews from here to there if that's where the damage is. A bigger concern as we look ahead will be what happens this fall when we get into heavy snow and ice weather. We have had situations, where we communicate with other utilities, and because of the social distancing and hygiene requirements, some of them are reluctant to send their crews a long distance to be out of town. So they might only help the utility next door where they can drive over, help for a day, and then go back home. So we'll be in communication with the contractors who help us out on bigger projects to make sure that we do have their availability should something big arise when we get to the fall or winter.
Well, Pat, one of the things, and we're going to take a break here and come back, but I want to talk about your leadership and kind of history, because there's really, this program's about looking forward and leading through difficult times. Talk about your leadership and what you kind of had to rely on from history and training and mentors to make it through this pandemic and quarantine. We'll take a break. We'll come back. Our guest is Pat Park, the CEO of Midwest Energy. Back after this from Worth Wealth Management.
It's now on our watch. America's been tested before, many times. We salute those that are on the front line, in our own backyard, and well beyond, and those that lead us to a better tomorrow. Our roots run deep, and so do our relationships. Let's move forward together. Live with confidence. Worth Wealth Management. There is a tomorrow that shines upon a better day. We'll move forward together.
Welcome back to Forward Ever, Leading in Challenging Times, presented by Worth Wealth Management. And our guest is Pat Park, CEO of Midwest Energy. Pat, before we talk about leadership, I think some stuff is happening in D.C. that probably we're talking about, and it has to do with grid security. You talk about, forget the pandemic, forget everything else. Some of the foreign-built equipment that's out there having to regroup or sell or take offline or disconnect. How are you guys, during all this other stuff, reacting to some of those national directives, I guess, that deal with kind of foreign-built equipment?
Yeah, Gary, what you're referring there to is the some of the requirements that we have for grid security that have been in place for many years. We refer to an entity called the North American Electric Reliability Corporation, or NERC. They put forth these reliability guidelines, and then we are audited periodically. In fact, we were supposed to be audited late 2020, and that has been delayed. We don't know how long, but because of restrictions on travel and so on, it has interrupted that. But we've been through a couple of those audits, and they have to do with things like making sure the grid is properly designed and maintained and so on. Then it gets into cybersecurity and are the communication systems, the SCADA systems that operate the grid, are they isolated from the normal internet where all the nefarious traffic seems to take place? So all of that was in place, and many, many standards, hundreds literally of standards that must be complied with. But something new has come up. And already NERC was looking at the supply chain, because much of the equipment that we use now has electronic parts in it. So there was an effort coming down the road to include now vendors of large equipment that's used on the bulk transmission system to make sure it was secure. And lo and behold, In May of this year, the Wall Street Journal carried a report that a large transformer built in China that arrived in Houston already last year, it was to be installed, I think, somewhere in Colorado or in that vicinity. And this is a very, very large transformer. And when it arrived at the port of Houston, and this thing would be huge, 500,000 pounds, it was basically commandeered by the government and shuffled off, we think, to Sandia National Lab in Albuquerque. And the word that we've gotten is that there was a listening device installed in that transformer. That's about all we know about that specific situation. But as a result of that, the president recently issued an executive order dealing with the supply chain. And so they will be, the government, issuing new regulations on equipment that is sourced overseas, and identifying companies whose components should not be included in that, and so on. But as with many things that come out of Washington, there's already a bit of conflict or a source for conflict, and that is NERC gets its authority ultimately through Congress. The executive order delegated responsibility for this to the Department of Energy, which is executive branch. So what the regulations might look like, when they will come out, we're not sure, but we do know it will impact the products that we buy. And this is a part of the reason this is a concern to us, is because some of these things take so long to build. Just the size of transformers that we use in a substation, 115,000 volt transformers, sometimes have a 1 year lead time. And so we're in a situation where we need products like that. So we have to order a year in advance, and now we don't even know what the rules are or the restrictions, if you will, on what might be off limits.
Well, just another leadership opportunity, Pat, trying to figure out how to manage that forward. When you look back and say, okay, you know, I wanted to be in the role. I wanted to be a CEO. You wanted to be able to lead a company. Pandemics don't come into play so much as maybe some of the other things we're talking about, regulation, government stuff, that sort of thing. Looking back on your career, what was the most important tools that you picked up for leading during the past few months?
Well, Gary, when you and I were in school, there were no classes on leadership or degrees. We probably both learned a lot simply from observing the people who were leaders when we were at other positions in the company. We observe, we might, you know, think through how we would react. And then we have on the job training, and certainly mistakes are made. We learn, you know, and so I think an important thing to have is a memory and try to keep track of the lessons that we've learned so we don't make the same mistakes twice. And also, I think it's so important to approach leadership with a sense of humility, especially in a complex business. There's probably somebody else who has a better answer to almost anything. And so we've got to take the time to listen, to hear other opinions, and then make decisions from that.
Do you talk to other, I'd say, executives, other power companies? Is there a group that you resource? I know there is in our business as well, but you're able to go back and forth and be able to, whether it be best practices or how, because employees are really struggling. Many of them struggle through this whole change as well of working from home and trying to understand that, because you can't do it under the old rule book. You have to have a kind of a new rule book when everybody's working at home. How do you find out, you know, outside of just Midwest Energy, what are the resources that you have?
Well, we have both state and national associations that once upon a time actually got together and had meetings. More recently, that's been via phone calls and so on. I do, Gary, I like to just do a lot of reading. When I come to work in the morning, I try to, you know, read the New York Times, look for articles, not only that relate to the energy world, but just management type things. And I try to keep my eyes open for stories that might appear on LinkedIn or other sources. The Conversation is another good source for some in-depth articles, not just about, in fact, usually not about the utility business, but about other issues that are affecting the world today.
Well, Pat, I appreciate your thoughtfulness, your leadership at Midwest Energy, what you're doing over there, keeping the lights on, keeping the computers running, keeping those things that we use every day, we kind of take for granted. And appreciation to you and your team out there that's done a terrific job during the pandemic to keep all of us who are the Midwest Energy customers up and running. And it's one thing to be happy and healthy. It's another thing to be able to move forward with the businesses that we have, the homes we have, and that. So pass along thanks to you and your team for doing a great job.
Oh, sure, Gary. I would be remiss if I did not acknowledge the great group of employees that we have here who, you know, I'm not a director type leader. I like to collaborate and let others use their skills. So the employees have just done a fantastic job, and I'm grateful for that.
Thanks to Pat Park for being on our program today. Pat is CEO of Midwest Energy, and our program, Forward Ever, Leading in Challenging Times, is presented by Tim Wirth and his team, Wirth Wealth Management. You can live with confidence. Thanks for listening.
Thank you for listening to Forward Ever, Leading in Challenging Times, presented by Wirth Wealth Management. Be sure to check back next week for another episode with your host, Gary Shorman. Until then, remember to move forward ever, backward never. Forward Ever, Leading in Challenging Times is a production of Eagle Communications.
Challenging times are when experience matters. We allow our clients to live with confidence. long-term trusted relationships. Worth Wealth Management, enhancing lives and strengthening families.